This is Backseat Box Office, episode number 265, for the weekend of July 1st through July 3rd. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office, where we talk about stuff, mainly movies, sometimes not. So let's go over to my co-host, Art. Art, how's it going?
It is going well. I am still alive in the Texas heat. It is not as bad as some people made it out to be. So, but it's still early. We'll see. It could get worse.
Yeah, it could be a long summer if you're bothered by heat, I guess. I don't know. Let's talk about something that probably wasn't so hot. Last weekend's box office results. So, according to Box Office Mojo, for the weekend of June 24th through June 26th, here's your top five from last week. At number one, Finding Dory, still atop. 73 million dollars. Got dazzled by the number there. At number two, we have Independence Day: Resurgence at 41 million dollars. At number three, we have Central Intelligence at 18.2 million dollars. We have number four, The Shallows at 16.8 million dollars. And at number five, we have The Conjuring 2 at 7.7 million dollars. And there be your top five.
Yeah, not so hot, like you said, for Independence Day, but Finding Dory is blowing it up. Fastest to 300 million, did it in 12 days, beat out Toy Story 3 and Shrek 2, which both did it in 18 days. So they're crushing it.
Yeah.
But yeah, Independence Day, that's an okay number. Not with that $165 million budget. That's not a good number.
Yeah, I've talked to a couple of people that saw it and said it was okay, but they really didn't have anything noteworthy to say.
Right.
So, yeah, we'll see if there's going to be a third one or not. All right. So that was a quick look at the lackluster box office from last weekend. So now let's look at hopefully better times at the theater this weekend. So Art, why don't you tell us about the first of three movies that's coming up?
Okay, we are kicking it off with The BFG. It is 71% fresh on the tomato meter, 96% want to see it. This film tells the tale of a young girl, the Queen of England, and a benevolent giant known as the BFG, who set out on an adventure to capture the evil man-eating giants who have been invading the human world. Rated PG for action, peril, some scary moments, and brief rude humor. Genre, kids and family, science fiction fantasy. Directed by Steven Spielberg, written by Melissa Matheson, Ronald Dahl. Runtime, 1 hour and 15 minutes. Okay. I don't know any of these people. Looks like a bunch of English actors.
Mark Rylance, wasn't he in Bridge of Spies?
I did not see that. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, Bridge of Spies.
Okay.
And what was the runtime that you said?
1 hour, 115 minutes.
Okay, there we go.
That's better, yeah.
Yeah. That's don't want to get all mathematical.
No. We strive for accuracy here, sir. We may not achieve it, but we're striving.
I think the author is Roald Dahl, something like that. Not Ronald.
I didn't say Ronald. I said, what did I say? I said, I see what you were saying. I think I did say Ronald Dahl. Yeah. Okay. It's definitely Dahl, Steve Dahl, but yeah. Okay.
As far as other people that I recognize, Rebecca Hall, she's in Iron Man 3.
Okay.
She's been in other movies, Transcendence, I think, with Johnny Depp.
But
it stops there. Oh, and one of my favorite, probably unknown actors, Matt Frewer. How to explain it? He was a guy that he had his own sitcom, I think, in the 90s, and he was like one of those kind of guy in kind of the Steve Martin mold. Okay. He was also in Next Generation, if you remember, the guy that came from the future and went back in time to the Enterprise D to steal the technology. And he kind of spun it that he was back to study the Enterprise because they're about to. He was a guest star on one episode of Next Generation.
Okay.
So, anyways, that's enough of that. So yeah, this is a wait for video.
Yeah, I'm in no. I mean, if Aubrey expresses any interest, we might go see it. It's Disney, so maybe.
All right. Okay, so let's move on over to the second of three movies. So let's talk about another entry in the subgenre of cash grab, Legend of Tarzan. 34% on the tomato meter, 76 reviews, 26 fresh, 50 rotten. And out of 36,120 Rotten Tomatoes users, 97% want to see it, but they want to see everything, so that's not really news. Okay, so here's the description. It has been years since the man once known as Tarzan, Alexander Skarsgård, left the jungles of Africa behind for a gentrified life as John Clayton III, Lord Greystoke, with his beloved wife, Jane, Margot Robbie, at his side. But now he's been invited back to the Congo to serve as a trade emissary of Parliament. Unaware that he is a pawn in a deadly convergence of greed and revenge masterminded by the Belgian, Captain Leon Rom, Christoph Waltz. But those behind the murderous plot have no idea what they are about to unleash. This, just like every other movie, is PG-13, for sequences of action and violence, some sensuality, and brief, rude dialogue. This is directed by David Yates, written by Adam Kozad and Craig Brewer, and this will cost you 109 minutes of your time. So, other than Alexander Skarsgård and some other people I mentioned, who else is in this? Well, Samuel L. Jackson plays a character, George Washington Williams. Digimon Hunsu plays Chief Mbonga, and Jim Broadbent plays the Prime Minister. So yeah, I don't know. Hopefully they're trying to build on maybe that True Blood audience, because Skarsgård was in a lot of True Blood episodes.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Margot Robbie seems to be kind of a hot property. Suicide Squad's coming up and other things she's been in. So yeah, I don't know. I did a quick search for Tarzan movies, and there aren't as many as I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Tarzan the Ape Man, 81, but I don't know. They don't have any release information on it. It made $36 million. Tarzan the Legend of Greystoke, which I remember, that was 84, and that opened at 45. That made $45 million. The Tarzan the Animated from Disney did $171 million back in 99. That is not too shabby.
Yeah.
And that was the last Tarzan movie. So it's been 17 years since we've had a Tarzan movie. So, I don't know. I've always found it interesting. That whole kind of genre. So not that I'm going to run out and see this, it'll be, but I catch it somewhere down along the way. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I'm looking at some of the reviews, but none of them really are blurred from the reviews, but I'm really
grab you.
Yeah. Apparently, David Yates, the director, is the same director who did the last four Harry Potters.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, he worked with Broadbent in The Half-Blood Prince, the sixth one. Mm-hmm. I don't know. All right, Art, why don't you tell us about the last one?
I don't know. This is going to be really hard. All right, well, The Purge, Election Year. Rated 63% fresh on the tomato meter. 94% want to see it. All right, let me take a deep breath here. Writer-director James DeMonaco returns for the third installment of the franchise starring Frank Grillo. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Rated R for disturbing, bloody violence and strong language, action-adventure, horror, mystery, suspense. Directed by James DeMonaco. Written by James DeMonaco. Runtime, 1 hour and 5 minutes.
You did it again.
I did. Oh, what is wrong with my brain today? 105 minutes.
Or an hour 45 for those.
Hour 45, yeah, yeah, hour 45. It's like it's metric or something. I don't know. Okay, and this is also with a bunch of people whose names I don't recognize. Do you know anybody? I know you said Frank Grillo was in the second movie.
Yeah, Frank Grillo was played Crossbones in Captain America Civil War. Elizabeth Mitchell is an actress that was on Lost. Kyle Secor is someone, he was on Homicide, Life on the Street.
Okay.
Way back when with Andre Brower. And then Ethan Phillips, speaking of Star Trek, he played Neelix on Star Trek Voyager.
I saw that as I got down towards the bottom. I'm like, oh, I'm going to regret saying I don't know any of these people. I know Ethan Phillips.
Yeah, but...
I have no interest. I did not see either of the other two movies, and I'm not going to start now.
I have the first two recorded just out of morbid curiosity.
I'm not saying they're going to be terrible. I'm not saying
I understand
they
that.
They just don't. They don't. Yeah. Yeah. Not even out of morbid curiosity.
I mean, you know, when you read that one sentence, you know, I don't know if you're reading the description or the screenplay for the movie. It's just,
Yeah, I'm willing to bet it's a little thin.
Yeah, but there's a lot of fresh reviews. One of them being Katie Walsh from the Tribune News Service, the biggest, baddest berserkers purge so far. Noah Giddle from Washington City Paper. In any other era, it would make a tidy profit and quickly be forgotten. In 2016, it might just be movie of the year.
Not quite, but I was surprised, you know, before we got on the show, we discussed earlier how the first two movies did, and you know, you said $60 million for the first movie and $70 million for the second movie. So, you know, it is drawing more of a following. So if we can follow up with that success, you know, 70 or 80 million, maybe even 100, that wouldn't be bad.
Yeah.
We shall see.
All right. So that's going to end our look at the movies coming out in wide release this weekend. So now we can end that segment. We can move on to the next segment, which is Share Time, where Art and myself talk about what movie, TV, or however else we're spending our time the past 2 weeks. So, Art, what do you have for us?
Okay, so we picked up not that Aubrey hasn't seen it before. I think it was on the old DVR before we moved, but we picked up The Little Mermaid. And so we watched the original Little Mermaid, and it's oh so cute, and had oh so much fun, and blah, 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 and it's still a classic, and it still holds up. We picked up I think it was originally made for sci-fi, Alice. It was a modern-day kind of retelling with a very dark, twisted, you know, 150 years in the future of Wonderland kind of a thing. And so we watched that, me and Brittany, without Aubrey, because like I said, it's adult, mature, it was sci-fi, and I actually really enjoying it. Another thing that we watched, Mr. Popper's Penguins. Aubrey has been on a super big penguin kick. We saw this, Brittany wanted to see it, and so we picked that up, we watched that as well.
That's with Jim Carrey, right?
That is one with Jim Carrey, yes. And the, I watched something else, and I am totally blanking on what it was. Oh, Night at the Museum. We also Aubrey watched for the first time, the first Night at the Museum. And Ben Stiller's girlfriend, or fiance, or whatever she is, in Night at the Museum, is the same person who plays Jim Carrey's ex-wife in Mr. Popper's Penguins. So it was kind of funny to watch these two different movies and be like, wait, where do I recognize her from? Oh, yeah, I just saw her in another movie. So she's just your stereotypical, you know, girlfriend, significant other who gets pulled into your shenanigans. But Mr. Popper's Penguins was actually very enjoyable, very funny. I actually enjoyed it quite a bit. I was surprised. Watching on Netflix, there is a cartoon show called The Deep, and it's Sequest, kind of. It's this family of four, you know, your stereotypical dad, mom, two kids, one boy, one girl, in a submarine, adventuring under the seas, looking for the lost continent of Lemuria, having adventures with pirates and all the things you would typically expect. Stereotypical up until the point when you consider that the father is a black man and the wife is white and they are an interracial couple with racially mixed children. And so you have a very positive protagonist and stars. And I really enjoy it. Aubrey is loving it, loving all the undersea adventure and all the stuff that's going on. And I'm liking it for the positive minority role models. So it is a really good show. I think it's just one season, 13 episodes. I think she's finished it because she was watching it without me. And I'm about 5 episodes in and really enjoying it. It's not as good as Voltron, but it's still really good. And I don't think it's a Netflix original. I think it's something they maybe imported from Canada or something.
Yeah, it says here that it's based on the Aurelius award-winning graphic novel series.
Oh, okay.
And it looks like it came from Australia, maybe?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, maybe not. Maybe that's just an Australian company that handles distribution, but yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Like I said, I didn't think it was domestic. It definitely didn't seem that way because just didn't seem like our style. But like I said, I'm thoroughly enjoying it. She liked it enough that she watched it all without me, and she likes it. So, and the other thing I did was I started the first episode of Dark Matter. I did not get to finish it, but I am going down that rabbit hole, and so I will have more to report on that later.
All right. Real quickly, I was looking at Alice while you were talking.
Okay.
And it looks like it was 2 episodes.
Yeah, it was just a mini series. Yeah.
And the actor who played the White Knight, Matt Frewer.
Yes. Max Headroom.
Yeah. So, anyways, so that's good. All right.
Yeah, it's got a number of big names in it.
Harry Dean Stanton.
Yep. The Queen of Hearts is what's her name
from Kathy Misery? Bates.
Kathy Bates. Yeah. Yeah. I've seen a number of people. I'm like, oh, I know who that is. Oh, I know who that is. So, yeah, no, it's enjoyable.
All right. So I ventured out to the theater. Friday night was supposed to be a game night, but we had a couple cancellations. And even though I wanted to have my buddy try out Rum of Bones, he said, we got to go see Warcraft.
No.
We got to get that out of the way. So we went to the Buena Park Mall, and it has a Kirkorian, which is it's kind of more of an independent. I mean, there's a couple locations in Southern California, but they're nowhere near an AMC or Edwards/Regal or anything. So anyways, what did I think of Warcraft? I still don't know if I liked it or not, just because there were a lot of things that were weird that kind of struck me odd-like almost. Now this is coming from someone that doesn't really have any exposure to any of the Blizzard titles other than playing Diablo 2 when I was in college, which was a long time ago. I felt like that it kind of felt like a movie that took 10 years in production that has been rewritten. I can't sit here and not sound like a fanboy for Duncan Jones, but I thought he did. He put some little visual touches in here, which I really enjoyed. There was also a couple interesting story touches that I think that he added that kind of made it a little more fun. But my main gripes, without getting into too deep of spoilers, is that it has a non-standard structure towards the second half of the movie that really made you wonder why that was, it's kind of hard to explain, but the acting in it was kind of mediocre. I thought Paula Patton did really good as the half orc. She did a good job, but some of the other people, I didn't think they acted particularly well, but I didn't know what characters they were really trying to portray. Because this is a kind of this is my first dip into the Warcraft pool, I don't think they did a terribly good job explaining, the geography or the conflict, other than very nonchalantly kind of thing. I will say this: it's a pretty movie. It's probably, if you're into summer blockbusters, it's probably worth watching on a big screen if you can get to one. But a couple things that they missed on that I wanted to see, and this kind of led to a big long discussion as we were walking to the cars with my friend and I, is that why haven't we had a good Dungeons and Dragons movie yet? What is so hard about that? Some of the things that I wanted to see that they decided not to put in the movie, no dungeon. And I understand that this movie is more about the story of Warcraft, which was the real time strategy, war game kind of thing. It isn't what WoW is, but I wanted to see a dungeon. I wanted to see at least some kind of magic item. Like, we have what's supposed to be the king of all men, and I'm just waiting for, like, can we have like a plus one sword or a plus one flame tongue or give him like a plus two shield or something, something that's, cool kind of thing. And another thing that I was excited about from the trailer that I talked about on this show was that I want him to do magic right. I want to see magic missiles. I want to see them throwing all kinds of stuff around kind of thing. We got that in some parts of the movie, and then it kind of stopped a little bit. And I understand it's probably just the penny pinchers trying to keep the visual effects budget down. But there were some parts that had some cool magic. Some other things, I was kind of annoyed at, there were a couple tropes that I think they threw in from Lord of the Rings, that I don't think you kind of do in this kind of movie kind of thing. Okay. And because whereas you had three movies to kind of set up this arc, and they kind of tried to shoehorn it in one movie, right, kind of thing. So I think, obviously this is something to establish a franchise, and it's not, the ultimate goal is not to make the best movie they can make. But it was uneven for me.
Right.
It was uneven for me. And I think that I needed to know more about the world than I think I would have, enjoyed it more.
Right.
Cause at the end, you're just wondering kind of from story wise, what did we learn kind of thing. So, obviously this movie isn't for me. I don't feel like that was a waste. However, especially if I'm going to, know more, because, thanks to China, we're definitely getting more of these.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Same with Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
Also, I've started to watch Preacher. And it was weird seeing Warcraft after watching the pilot for Preacher, because the king and queen of Azeroth, or it's probably not Azeroth, I'm probably butchering it, but the king and queen in Warcraft are also two of the main actors in Preacher.
Okay.
Dominic Cooper and Ruth Negga. Did I say it right? Negga? Okay. Negga. I'm sorry. So I'm really liking Preacher. I'm really liking that it's not wall-to-wall action, because, there is a vampire kind of thing. So anyways. But I'm really liking it, that there's more mystery, and I'm kind of blown away that it's directed by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, the creative team behind Superbad and a bunch of other movies kind of thing.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, just one comment. You talk about how we can't get a good Dungeons and Dragons movie.
Mm-hmm.
We got three of them. They're called Lord of the Rings. Those are the best Dungeons and Dragons movies you're ever going to get. And yes, I know there was not enough magic, but other than that, those are the best Dungeons and Dragons movies you're ever going to get.
I could only attack that argument semantically.
That's fine.
Because to me, Lord of the Rings is basically a war movie.
Okay.
They
went through the mines of Moria. There was your dungeon. That's it.
Yeah. So that was a half hour of what? 8 hours of movie?
Yes.
Okay, so
it's got your elves and your dwarves.
So they basically just stopped by the Mines of Moria to take a leak, and then they went back outside. Yeah, well, you know, that's kind of like I like Fellowship more than the Two Towers or the Return of the King, but yeah. Yeah, and we'll see what happens, but it's been, you know, D&D's been around since the 70s.
It has. We'll see. There's
opportunity. Yeah. Well, there'll always be time.
You know what? I'm having to check up and see where that lawsuit is with Sweet Pea. I thought they had come to some type of final agreement. I thought we talked about that in the last few.
If you know, why can't we just have one adequate D&D movie? If I have to listen about how they're making Tetris a trilogy. Come on, Hollywood. All right, I had
not heard that. That's yeah. pretty good.
I refuse to talk about it on the show other than what I've already done.
That's fine. No, that's fine. That's enough. You talked about it just the right amount and at just the right time.
All right. I think that's it. I don't have anything else to talk about. So now that we're done with shared time, I'll step down off my soapbox and we'll get over to news. So Art, do you have anything to tell us?
Okay. I got a couple of things here. So we talked earlier about how Finding Dory is doing at the theater. And globally, Finding Dory has brought in $433 million, and there are still several areas where the film hasn't even opened yet. So that is just, it's just running away with it. Disney is really killing it this year. Four movies in the top 10 for the year, including Zootopia, which also broke the $300 million mark, which mm-hmm. we also talked about significantly, which you also really enjoyed. So it's just a really good year all around. Which, talking about Finding Dory, leads me to, I thought this was really interesting. Finding Dory dropped two hidden references to this action movie classic. So you've heard about the unified Pixar theory.
Mm-hmm. That they're all in the same universe?
They're all in the same universe. Okay. Yeah. Well, there is also one whacked out theory that ties Die Hard in to the Pixar universe. And rumor has it, Pixar thought this was so hilarious, they actually dropped a couple of things in that are references to Die Hard. So now I have to go back, and not that I wasn't ever going to watch it again. I may yet watch it again, just if it double features up with something nice at the drive-in. But now I'm going to have to be looking for what are the Die Hard references, because I didn't see them. They also mentioned that there should be a reference to the next Cars movie, because that is the
Cars 3
should be the other reference, as and the Luxo Ball. Which I don't remember seeing. So now the next time I see it, I'll be looking for two Die Hard references, a Cars reference, and Luxo Ball. So that's my mission for the next time I see Finding Dory.
Okay. Well, since we were talking about Dungeons & Dragons, let's follow up with the one news story that I had.
Okay.
Do you know who Ansel Elgort?
No.
Do you sound familiar? He was the male lead in The Fault in Our Stars.
Okay.
He, I guess he made it pretty far in the auditions to be Han Solo, but he got beat out by Alden Ehrenreich. Well, apparently he is in negotiations to be in the D&D movie. So he would star in the film based on the classic role-playing game, which will be directed by Goosebumps helmer Rob Letterman. So, from a script written by Wrath of the Titans scribe David Leslie Johnson. Yeah. The thing that really bothers me here is Hasbro's Brian Goldner and Stephen Davis will produce. I don't want a toy company producing my D&D movie. Let someone from Hollywood produce it. Hey, here's some puns. The project endured some major hit points. I didn't even use it right. When the film rights were caught up in a legal battle, Hasbro, which now owns a company that first published Dungeons & Dragons in 1974, and Sweet Pea Entertainment, which exercised an option of film rights in the 90s, later throws these rights to Warner. I almost fell asleep to reading it. Eventually reached a settlement last August, after which Warner Brothers began to move forward. So, yeah. So, you know, tiny baby steps, but we're getting closer to one. So, yeah. Art, what you got next?
Yeah, well, just off of that right quick, you made me think of the best idea I've heard for a D&D movie. An update to Mazes and Monsters, where Tom Hanks now plays the DM instead of just one of the players. No? not so much.
I don't think so. Do you really want another sequel? Come on, man.
Okay.
Not met me. Original, baby. Come on.
Come on. Right, come on. Give me something new. Okay. So we have a confirmed date for Wreck-It Ralph. Wreck-It Ralph returns March 9th, 2018. So if you want to go see, there was an online interview with Phil Johnson and director Rich Moore from Zootopia. When John C. Reilly arrived in the scene with a pair of giant foam hands, and they made the announcement. So, Wreck-It Ralph 2, like I said, March 9th, 2018. So, we still got a ways to go. One of the images shows Ralph and Vanellope standing over a world with a bunch of kind of knockoffs of internet type things. So it looks like it's moving out into the internet.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what I heard, is that they're going out to the internet. So that
yes.
sound, I'm half of me is scared and the other half is excited about this. Just depending on where they're, you know, where they go.
Well, they're going to have their Google Safe Search on, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not worried about that. It's just which part of the, you know, internet, because I don't think you can do it all encompassing type thing.
No, but they'll hit the highlights.
You kind of still have to make it about games.
Yeah, for sure. And there are plenty of games that are online. I mean, you know, MMOs. You know, what if he can wander into an MMO and think of all the things he could meet, run into, you know, he could totally Leroy Jenkins, because that's totally his style.
Right.
I'm interested. I, like I said, Wreck-It Ralph is in my top five as far as animated movies for sure. Which is a gust company considering how many cartoons I watch. I'm excited. The other thing this kind of springs off of is that, Gigantic, also from Disney, was supposed to be that same date. So that is getting pushed back to a November 21st, 2018. So in the article, they say push back, but not that far. That's getting pushed back like 8 months, nine months, 3rd to the 11th. That's 8 months, more than half a year. That's ridiculous. But I just thought it was funny because they're bumping their own movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Since I called back to D&D, I'm also going to call back to a show I've been watching, Preacher. It looks like they're going to do a season two already, even though they haven't finished their run. They might be close to the end of their run of the first season. So I'm excited about that. But, you know, it's really – I was just reading that, you know, Preacher's been in development since 2008.
Wow.
Yeah, and I guess the graphic novels that it's based on were written in the 90s.
Yeah.
They took their sweet time getting that to air, but I'm glad that they finally did.
Yeah, but now that all the pieces are in place, they can move it along more quickly.
Yeah. All right, Art, what do you got next?
All right, the last story I got is kind of, I don't even know what category to put it in. This is why Robert De Niro only seems to be making bad movies these days, according to one of his co-stars. So there was a time when De Niro was really a go-to actor, a someone who was always worth seeing. And the article says, one only need look as far as the recent Dirty Grandpa to realize the actor has gotten a lot less picky with his projects. They were recently talking with, where are we? I lost her name. Just somebody he co-starred with in a few movies. And she had this to say: I think that I can only comment as an outsider, and having worked with him on films like Goodfellas, the environment that was created to play and make a work of art that no longer exists. You know, you're talking about an environment where Marty, Scorsese, made crew members remove their watches. Where on the set of Cape Fear, De Niro caught somebody looking at their watch, and the person is yelled at because it was like, we're making art, and it must be very challenging to be in an environment where it's like, yeah, we have an hour, let's get this shot, let's get that shot. And nobody else cares, why should you care? So it's like, he's at a point where if the money's good enough, he'll do it, he doesn't care, he's just taking a paycheck. At least that's her opinion. And I completely am losing her name here in the... It doesn't matter. But like I said, it's he's being a lot less picky. And I think there's still a lot of room for the making of good dramas. Not everything has to be action-packed, superhero. You know, those are the big draws for the majority of people. But I still think there's a lot of good stuff to be done.
Yeah, I agree. All right. So my last thing is I felt like that I needed some more news. So these are kind of some more quick hits type stuff, courtesy of the weekly catch up from Rotten Tomatoes. And the first one is, I guess, Fast and Furious 8. They're adding more cast to the next Fast 8.
Mm-hmm.
There's rumors that Scott Eastwood is going to be joining the already... or the previous actors, Vin Diesel, Dwayne Johnson, Tyrese Gibson, Ludacris, Kurt Russell, and Jason Statham. They've added Charlize Theron, who's going to be a villain. But they're also adding Helen Mirren. So some people are saying that maybe they're going to be like a mother-daughter villain team or something like that.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know what to think, but it seems like there's going to be 20 separate actors in the new Spider-Man movie.
Oh, I heard. I saw that they added another actor to Spider-Man Homecoming. Is that what it's being called?
Yeah. Okay. So they have the director who did Clown and Cop Car, indie director John Watts, is quickly assembling what is becoming quite an ensemble cast. So we have Tom Holland, Marissa Tomei, Robert Downey Jr., Zendaya, Michael Barbieri, and Tony Revolori, who was, I think, was the lobby boy from the Grand Budapest Hotel kind of thing. And then they added Community star Donald Glover.
Okay.
And they're not really sure who he's gonna play. Saying probably could be Miles Morales. And then they added Martin Starr from Silicon Valley. And if I go to the other page, there's even more casting news because they've gotten Logan Marshall Green, who is in Prometheus, and they're also casting Bokeem Woodbine. And they said he's the third confirmed villain for the movie.
Oh, no.
In addition to Logan Marshall Green and Michael Keaton, who may or may not be playing the Vulture. They also added Michael Mondo, Abraham Atta, or Ta, who is in Beast of No Nation, and comedian Hannibal Buress. So who knows what's going on there. Art, how do you feel about Bryan Cranston being in the Power Rangers?
I had not heard, but what, is Zordon?
Yeah, he's going to be Zordon, the floating head creator and mentor of the Power Rangers.
It seemed appropriate. I didn't even know they were working on a Power Rangers movie.
And he was actually the voices of Twin Man and Snizzard in the 90s kids TV show.
Huh.
Yeah. So Sony Animation is preparing a movie called The Star, an animal comedy about Christmas. Christmas tale about the animals involved in the nativity story, including a small but brave donkey and his animal friends who become the unsung heroes of the greatest story ever told.
Oh, that sounds cute.
Yeah. What else is there? Oh, and the last thing, Alicia Vikander and Emma Stone are competing the star. They're doing a young Agatha Christie.
Wait, who and who?
Did you see Ex Machina?
No.
Okay.
They need to.
Alicia Vikander is the, she's been in Ex Machina and then The Danish Girl. So she's been in some pretty critically well-received movies.
Right,
But her and Emma Stone, I guess, are down.
Okay.
They're down to two. So they're going to do, let's say, a key element for either movie to be greenlit will be the approval of Agatha Christie's estate, which is reportedly known in film development for their tight control of all things Christie-related. One such film project that ultimately did get approval after 7 years of negotiations is Kenneth Branagh's adaptation of Murder on the Orient Express, which is now scheduled for release by 20th Century Fox for release on November 22nd, 2017, okay. with an ensemble cast likely to include Angelina Jolie.
Interesting.
Oh, and you heard that Darth Vader is going to be in Rogue One?
Yes, I did hear that.
Okay, so they're getting James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones,
yeah. Wow. All right, so I think that's going to end this haphazard news section, at least on my part. So that'll bring us to the end of the show. So everyone, this has been another episode of Back to You Box Office. So thank you for listening to us. And feel free to check out backtoyouproducers.com on ways to comment on the show, send us a note, good or bad. Check out our other show, Backseat Producers, even though we haven't seen any new episodes lately. Oh, and I almost forgot. Our friend Tad has been sending us voicemails, and we've had a little difficulty getting them. So at the very end, we apologize for this, Tad. We actually have three voicemails, but we're going to do one a week. So, here's going to be, a report from, our man in the field, Tad. So Tad, why don't you, tell us what you've been doing?
Hey guys, this is Tad calling in for our Backseat Box Office. Sorry, it's been a while since I called in. I don't have a really good excuse, but, yeah, I just wanted to talk about a couple things I've been watching. I saw the, Bourne, trailer, and oh my god, I'm so excited. Bourne movies, I don't know why, they're just some of my favorite movies. I watch them all the time. I'm really excited for another one, especially with, Jason Bourne in it. So, I'm pretty excited about that. I watched the season 2 of Daredevil. I watched it probably in about a week from when it was released, and I really liked The Punisher. I can't think of the guy's name, but the guy that plays The Punisher that was in The Walking Dead and all that did a really good job with The Punisher. I really like that take on The Punisher. The Punisher's always been kind of one of my favorite Marvel characters. So, I just really like that. I'm excited to see more Punisher and see more Daredevil. Let's see. Oh, yeah, about the Killjoys thing. I think they renewed that. I think they had said they were going to have a second season before the first season was finished. I'm really excited about that, too. I really like that show. Glad you guys are keeping the show going. And I'm having a good time. I'll try to be a little bit better about calling in more often. Thanks for the show, and I'll talk to you guys later. All right, bye-bye.
So, thank you, Tad. We both enjoyed, Daredevil season 2. And,
oh, yeah.
I don't know where are you, did you watch Killjoys?
I did not watch any Killjoys. Yeah. You talked about it some more, and that's why we talked about it. And I went and looked to see if it was on Netflix. It's not. So I'm very jealous. I do want to see it, but so I did start watching. That's why I started watching Dark Matter. I'm like, well, if I can't watch Killjoys, at least I'll watch some Dark Matter.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. All right. So, other than that, everyone take care of yourselves, and we will catch you next week. Art, say goodbye.
Goodbye.